First Peter chapter 2, we're going to be reading today a lot of this scripture. We're going to read the whole chapter as quickly as I can, I'm sure, but we'll read this. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and evil and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumbled because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they are also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among them, among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they will, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And I'm going to stop right there because I know I'm not going to make it that far today. We're going to get started in chapter 2. But if you look at chapter 2, this is a continuation of chapter 1. And we know that from verse 1, which it begins, therefore. The therefore brings everything that was said in chapter 1 into context for chapter 2, or at least most of chapter 1 into the context for chapter 2. And if you remember, Peter was speaking of this living hope and this sure salvation. And he brought about this conditional statement. If you call him Father, if God is your Father, then the evidence that follows will reveal whether or not that's true. Well, today we find another if statement. And that is that if we have tasted the kindness of our Lord, if we have tasted his kindness, then there are realities that follow that reveal that to be true of us. Beginning with the fear of the Lord and love for him and for his people, but we increase in our knowledge and we're changed by the work of the Holy Spirit in his word, in progressive sanctification. So as we were in chapter 1, we saw that if we call him Father, then we fear him. We fear the Lord, and we love him. We love the brethren. We love the people around. And we saw that the evidence of fear is that purified heart that loves him and loves his people. Well, the second if statement that is there is in verse 3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, if you've experienced the kindness of the Father, then there's certain things that are going to become reality in your life. If you've experienced this kindness, we see that also in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Do you realize that it is God's kindness that brings about repentance in our lives? Repentance being that turning to God See, a lot of times when we think about repentance, it's in the negative connotation, right? Somebody's afraid they're going to get a whooping, and so they turn away from that to something else, right? But that's not the connotation that we should have here. Paul says it's the kindness of God that has led you to repentance. In other words, I see the beauty of Christ. I see the glory of God, and I turn to Him. And by virtue of turning to Him, I am implicitly turning away from sin. Because you can't be focused on two things. If I'm turning to Him and to His glory, I will turn away from sin. And Paul says it's His kindness that causes you to look to Him. It's the kindness of our Father that leads us to repentance. And so here Peter says, if you've tasted that kindness, if you have come to that point of seeing the glory of God, the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, if you've come to that and you've turned away from sin, then there are some realities that take place in your life. The first is that we come as newborn babes. We become as new babies. Verse 1 through 3, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So we see that we come like newborn babies. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it at all. Whoever does not receive like a child will not enter at all. This is not a sentimental innocence that we think of children, but in total dependence and obedience to the one who has birthed us so that we will continually look to Him for everything in our lives. See, that's what childlike faith is. That's what coming to Him as a child in infancy, we come to Him to know for everything, for our sustenance. We spoke of God's Word today, of how it's necessary. The necessity of God's Word is throughout the entirety of our lives. Today, people want to come to Christ, but they don't, and they want to do their own thing. Right? They don't necessarily want to learn of Him. In Presbyterian life, what do you do when children are coming up? How are children trained? How do you do that?
Correction.
Huh? Well, correction, but there's formalized training. What's that?
Nurture and discipline.
The nurture and discipline of the Word, right? So you begin to learn these things called catechisms, right? The shorter and the longer catechisms, these truths that we hold. Now, we say each Sunday the Apostles' Creed, but the catechisms and the Westminster Confession is enormous documents. And they teach those to children. Why is that important? Because that's the foundation, right? That's the foundation. So when we come to Him, and His kindness has led us to repentance and we turn to Christ, then we need to learn of Christ. We learn of Him. This is recognizing that I'm coming as a child and I have nothing to offer. Y'all seen a newborn baby lately? Anybody seen one? They're pretty helpless, ain't they? They always got to have somebody feed them, somebody change the diapers, somebody protect them from falling. It's crazy, like my grandson. I'm holding him like this, right? I'm trying not to let his head flop in the wrong direction and not. All of the stuff you do to nurture a newborn baby, right? Why is that important? Because that's what they have to have. And Peter says, look, you need to recognize you're coming as a newborn baby desiring the milk of the Word. But today, a lot of folks don't really want the Word. They don't even want the milk of the Word, much less the meat of it. And yet, that is what sustains us. That is everything to us. Some folks come just for, they come for a lot of reasons. But Peter says, look, the normal thing is when you come like a child. You come in total dependence upon God and upon His Word. You're trusting Him. You're not bringing your own biases and all those things in there. You're coming to Him because He is the one who is the cornerstone. So he says, first, we come like newborn babes. And then he says, put aside. Verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Putting aside all of these things. You know, when we slander someone or we speak ill of someone, it reveals more of what's in our hearts than it does about them. And so Peter says, look, you need to put aside, lay down your slanderous talk or your how you talk evil or ill of other people. If you're going to love one another in the body of Christ, and I've seen this I don't know how many times in my life, somebody gets mad at somebody and they get split up, they can't fellowship together anymore, and you go digging in, what happened? And you know what you get? Well, they said, it's just because of what somebody said about somebody else. And whether it was true or not, they shouldn't have said it to start with. Peter says, look, in the context of this fear of the Lord and loving your brethren, put aside all that wickedness, the hypocrisy, the slandering that you would do, because none of those things are profitable within the church. And they simply reveal more about what's going on in your heart than they do about what's going on outside. So put those things away. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, this is your new norm. If you are in Christ Jesus, your normal is to not be slanderous, to not walk in wickedness, to not walk in any of these sinful things. He says the old things have passed away. That's who you used to be. Before you were saved, before you were born again, you were like the world. That's what the world does. But now, in Christ, those things are passing away. They have passed away. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. New things have come. Christ now rules in my heart. And where I used to be ruled by anger or jealousy or deceit or slander or any of those things, I'm now ruled by Christ. He is Lord in my heart. And so the old things have gone away. New things have come. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul says, in reference to your former life, in reference to how, speaking of how you used to live, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. You need to lay aside the old life. I used to be like this, and I'm no longer the way I am. That's no longer the way I am anymore. I don't know if y'all paid attention, but our what do you call that? The very first song you played, the prelude, was redeemed. Redeemed. You know what I saw? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. You know why? Because once I'm redeemed, I'm no longer the same. I'm not the guy I used to be. I'm not filled with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life in the same way that I was. Now I've come to Christ, and I want to put aside that which is in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Those things that I would see that would deceive me. I want to trust Him and His Word. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. This is, again, in Ephesians 4. You're going to put on the new self. So the old stuff has got to go away. Does your life indicate that you're no longer living like you did when you were lost? That's what Peter's asking. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, your new normal is that you don't live like that anymore. I'm not going to be gossiping about people in the church. Look, I know it's Mother's Day, but there's so much gossip takes place in the church. People talking about other people in the church. And I've said this before. People do that, and I mean, in the South, we turned it into a sport. I mean, you gossip like you, I mean, everywhere. And yet Paul lists it with the murderers and the thieves as those who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is he saying there? He says, because the evidence that you have been reborn, the evidence that you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, is that you don't do that anymore. That's a lovely Mother's Day message, right? But you know it's the truth. And it ain't just women, guys. Guys gossip like nobody's business. And yet God's Word says, stop it. And I think that's what Paul would say today. Stop it. Stop sinning. That's what he would say. Because you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. You've experienced His grace and His mercy. Now be gracious towards one another. We'll talk about each other. Be merciful towards one another. See, that's how you live together. That's how you love one another. And these are hard days. We need each other. We don't need little divisions and schisms and factions because of what somebody said. And half the time they didn't even say it that way. And certainly didn't mean it that way. I tell people all the time, I'm a loud guy. And at some point, I'm going to say something stupid that hurts your feelings or makes you mad. I'm just telling you up front. Please tell me about that. Just say, hey, why did you say that about my boots? You don't like my boots? I don't know what you're talking about your boots. You know what I'm saying? Just come to me. Talk to me. Don't go talk. Everybody else in the church, you know what the preacher said about my boots? I had a guy talking to the other day. The preacher made a joke in a sermon, and they have relationship. I do this all the time, scared me to death. The preacher made a joke in the church, in the sermon, and the guy was sitting there, and he made a little fat joke. I can do those because I'm fat. He made a little fat joke with him and that guy. Guy's offended by that. I ain't never going back. I ain't never going back. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It wasn't like he was out talking about it. It's just, he made a point. My wife, I told her, I'm like, everything in my life is an object lesson. Everything, everybody. Everything that goes on might come out in the sermon. So you better be careful. Everybody's like, I ain't hanging out with him no more. It might. You never know. Huh? That's why I ain't got no friends, because everybody's been in a sermon. They all run away. All right? But you see what I'm saying? We get so easily offended. And if that's the case, let me know. But what I don't want is this gossip thing to go about. That's not who we are anymore. Peter is focusing on you loving one another. And that's got, you got to change the old behavior. James chapter 1, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. I cannot tell you how much that verse lines up with this morning's Sunday school lesson. In humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So James says, you got to put aside all of that stuff. You got to humble yourself. Be humble. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to. None of us should think more highly of ourselves than we should. We walk humbly before our God. We walk in a state of brokenness before Him. I have nothing to be arrogant about. I want to receive God's word humbly. I mean, think about it. What was temptation that Satan brought to Eve? You're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. And so Eve, she was attracted to that, right? Puffed her up a little bit. You're going to be like God. She's already created in His image. She forgot about that part. You're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. So you need to take this so you're not missing out on anything. See, I want to receive God's word, not what Satan has to offer. And if we're going to live together as one body with one spirit, and not have that brokenness, we're going to walk in brokenness. And when I say not brokenness, not have brokenness, we're not going to have fraction, division, and all those things. We're going to be as one. We've got to love one another. So he says, put aside all that filthiness and everything that remains for that, and long for. So here's your third thing, long for, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow. Now I want you to understand, there is nowhere in Scripture that we ever find someone who comes to salvation, apart from the thief on the cross, and there's no expectation of growth. Okay, every one of us in the New Testament church in particular, when we come to salvation, there's a process of sanctification that takes place in our lives, and there's an expectation that we're going to grow in our knowledge of Christ. Now, that may have to be proportional to your time period and your era in which you lived. Not everybody has always had the printed Word of God, had free access to read, could read, those things. But you're responsible to know what you could know in your time. And you're to grow. Paul says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Don't just sit like you're going to take it in through osmosis. That's not how it works. Now we can hear, and we receive the word, again, as James said, that's implanted. God sends His word for us for His purpose. So, like newborn babies, we're going to long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in all respects. Again, to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, remember this, laying aside the old self? Now he says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How's your mind going to be renewed apart from the Word of God? It can't be. Romans 12, 2, we got to do what? Present ourselves as living sacrifices. We want to have our minds renewed so that we're conformed to the image of Christ. Your life is nothing like Christ until you're born again. And so Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Righteousness and holiness of the truth. That should define your life once you come to salvation. But you're going to grow in that. You're going to have to learn the Father, learn what pleases Him, learn how to obey. That is our normal life. And again, James, after he says put aside all that filthiness and stuff, he says receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. When Peter writes the second letter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he talks about how our lives in Christ begin with faith, right? By grace you've been saved through faith. And it was Paul's statement, but he says you've got faith now. And I like the way he says it. Now, to your faith, add or supply. In all diligence, in your faith, supply moral excellence. So your morality changes when you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Your morals change. Did you know that? A lot of folks don't want their morality to change. Their morals don't change. It's a problem. He says, moral excellence, and to that you're going to add knowledge. You're going to come to know more and more of the grace of our Lord and Savior. And then to that knowledge, you're going to add self-control. Now, this is a big one, because that's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes with the Spirit. And today we have a lot of folks who want to come into the church, but they do not want to discipline themselves to lay aside known sinful behavior according to God's word. They want the church to adapt to them. They don't want to stop. You know what? When you're lost, you can't stop. And this is the problem. See, one of the evidences that we're in Christ is that we have self-control over those fleshly indulgences. To your self-control, add perseverance. How do you learn perseverance? How do you learn to persevere? Y'all can say this one. It's easy. You go through hard stuff. The only way you ever learn to persevere is to endure hardship. And when you have endured and found grace through our Father on the other side of that, and you begin to trust Him, the next problem that comes along, or the next time that you must persevere, because what ultimately we're doing in this life is holding fast, persevering, because our God preserves us. And so we're going to hold on. I want to add perseverance and godliness. I want to look like Jesus. I want to be godly. I want to be separate from sin. When we think about godliness and holiness, do I even consider what's important to God? Derek Gentle used to say that people who are godless, when you read about the people in the Bible and it says they were a godless person, you know who those are? They live their life without reference to God. They live their life without reference to God. Godliness is living your life completely in reference to God. Do you live your life that way? And to your godliness, add brotherly kindness. You see what's happening here? As I begin to lay aside the sinful things in my life, and I begin to put on Christ, where's it going to automatically go to? It's going to get to where I become kind towards my brothers. I'm going to demonstrate brotherly love. That's what's going to happen. You know what's happening when you see cold churches? When you see dead churches? You know what's happening where there's no brotherly love? You know what's happening? People are walking in the flesh. And they're holding on to these fleshly ideas. They don't want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And when you stop growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, guess what happens? Everything begins to decline. See, there's only two directions. You're either growing or you're dying. There's nothing in between. There's no hover mode. There's no just hang on. You're growing or you're dying. And we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. It may not be growing people number, you know, people busting out the seams of the building yet, but you won't ever see those kind of things as long as the people are not growing. So to brotherly kindness. So now I have tasted the kindness of my Lord, and now I'm going to extend that same kindness to others. You know what loving kindness is? Loving kindness is it's a covenant concept. And it is the love of God towards those he has made covenant with, right? In other words, I love you regardless. Now, there's an expectation. Remember, he gave them blessings and curses. I'm making my covenant with you and with your future generations. But look, if you do this, good things are going to happen. If you do this, bad things are going to happen. But you know what? I'm going to love you anyway. Even if you do wrong, I will love you. That's what loving kindness is. And because I love you, I extend kindness to you. In other words, I'm going to give you an opportunity to repent, to turn to me, to come back. What was it that the prodigal son's dad was looking for? The return. He knew what his son was. He gave him anyway, blessed him, and he watched him go squander it, waiting for the return. Brotherly kindness. Do we live that way with each other? Or if I make you mad, are you done with me forever? No, I'm putting up with that. Is that the way it is? That's the way it is all over the place. Families are like that. The church is like that. Add, finally, love. So when you come to Christ, all of these things are growing because you're adding. It's almost like a toolbox, and you're adding different tools into there. All of those. And finally, Peter says, look, if these qualities, if all of these traits are yours, and they are increasing. I've never heard anybody preach on the increasing of that. It's always whether or not you got these qualities. But you know what? There is a second qualifier. If all of these are yours, if you got them and are increasing, you're either growing or you're dying. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have this true knowledge or be effective for the kingdom and the world around you is for this growth that's taking place within you. You come as a newborn babe in total dependence upon the Lord, in absolute humility before Him, receiving the Word like milk, and you begin to grow. I have grandsons, three grandsons. The last one, all I can say is he's a chunk. This boy, I don't know how much he weighs, but he is solid. He's that big around. I mean, he's just, and he's got so much energy. And you know what? He's been drinking milk for months, and now he's started eating. You know why? That's the natural progression. That's the natural progression. You start with milk. And then you begin to grow. And then you want something with more substance to it. I want something I got to chew on. Now, I don't know. He may eat everything. Now, I don't know. He ain't that old. But the other ones, his brothers, they are. They don't still drink milk like that. They want something of substance. And when you come to Christ, that's the natural progression. The mamby-pamby fluff, sermons, and lessons, and engagement are not enough. And you've got to have more. I want to know more. Remember that old hymn? About my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. Y'all remember that hymn? That's a reality for those who are in Christ. It's not just a cool tune, catchy tune. It's a reality. I want to know more about my Jesus. That's a natural progression for us. And if we're going to love each other and have brotherly love together and walk in the fear of our God, that'll be our reality. Matt will have our hymn now. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. God, I pray that we are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. We're growing in Christ. Father, we're being molded and conformed more and more to the image of your Son. Help us this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.